would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the 85th Psalm. If you have your Bible open to Psalm 85, we'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 1 in Psalm 85. This is a psalm without a title or without a date. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this was a national hymn, he thought, written by David, to call upon God and declare the people's dependence in him. Psalm 85, beginning with verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark one word in the sixth verse of this 85th Psalm. It is the word again. Again. And I speak on this question. I'd like for you to write it down if you would, please. Is it possible for God to do it again? Is it possible for God to do it again? If I ask you, has your life been blessed of God? Have you known the favor of the Lord? Has God smiled upon you at some time in your life and you know he's taking care of you? Were you ever in something that might be called a revival, when your own life was made alive again, or the church where you worshiped experience a mighty moving of God? Was there something that happened in your family that brought everyone to the Lord? Was there something that happened in your workplace where people started talking about the Lord Jesus again? And God worked in such a wonderful way. It was a common thing to hear about God's goodness, even in the workplace. Have you read enough to know that there are periods and seasons of revival and refreshing from God, the moving of heaven on earth in the history of our country? Do you know that the world has been touched by the mighty Spirit of God, that the hand of God has moved in such a way that a moving of God in one place, one nation, among one people, spread to other places almost throughout the entire world? Do you know that happened from time to time? Well, is it possible for God to do it again? Is it possible for God to do it again? If I ask myself, is it possible for people to do what God wants them to do again? That's an entirely different question. The emphasis I'm making is not on men, it's not on you, it's not on me. The emphasis is on God. Is it possible for God to do it again? And I believe that all of us can go far enough to say, yes, Yes, it is not only possible for God to do it again, it is what God desires to do. Then I say to you and to myself, what's keeping it from happening? What's keeping it from happening? Is it that we're not in need any longer? You'd have to be foolish, maybe even near enough to be declared insane, to think like that. Oh, we're in desperate situations. I saw a report from a march the other day by people, anti-God people, collected together for some political movement, and one of the signs they carried read boldly, "If Jesus returns, let's kill him again." It was flashed all around the world from America. "If Jesus returns, let's kill him again." Is it that our nation is not in need? Was there a time when God did show us favor? The Bible talks here about God being favorable. In the very first line of the psalm, "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land." You pick up any history book about America, even those that the revisionists have tried to corrupt, and you have to know that God has been favorable. He has given favor to our land. There's no doubt about it. Is it possible for God to do it again? Is it possible? What we need is not a political solution. I'm pleased with the effect of our last national political campaign. I'd much rather Donald Trump be sitting in the White House than Hillary Clinton. And that's not a surprise to any of you to hear me say that. But Donald Trump, as much good as he's trying to accomplish, is not the answer we need. He is not. We need the Lord. It's not, can Donald Trump do this again? Is it possible for God to do what he's done in the past, in your life, my life, this church? Is it possible for God to do it again? I want you to mark these words, would you please? Notice how the Lord gives this emphasis by repetition. Hast, H-A-S-T. Lord, thou hast been favorable. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. That's twice. In the past you did this. In the past you did this. Verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Again, hast. Thou hast covered all their sin. And then Selah. 74 times that little word is given to us in the Psalms. It's a pause to think and reflect upon God and his greatness and what he's done. And he continues, verse 3, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Again in verse 3, thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. God has turned away from the fierceness of his anger. God has done this. Lord, thou hast done this. Thou hast done this. Thou hast forgiven. Thou hast covered. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. I just want to ask one question. Is it possible for God to do it again? Is it possible? The most hopeful thing we have is the Lord. The most encouraging thought we have is about God and what he has done and answering the question, is it possible for him to do it again? The Word of God says, and I'll come back to this in verse 4, turn us, O God of our salvation. He not only says, turn us, but when he does turn us, look at verse 8. He says to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. If God does turn us, do not turn again to folly. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease? Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Can we have thy blessing again? Can we know thy favor again? Can sin be forgiven again? From the fierceness of thy anger that's about to be poured out on us? Can you turn from that again? Wilt thou not revive us again? Bring life to us again. Revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. The origin of revival is the Lord. There's no formula we have that we can put out before us and say, now, if we do this, oh, I know that God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. But listen to the verse again. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn their wicked ways, then will I. It's all the moving of God. And God says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? In other words, is this now just the way it's going to be for the rest of our lives, for all generations? This antagonism toward God, this hatred of God and God's word, this expelling of God. One of our elected officials came to me recently and he said, there is now a curriculum that's being recommended, written and recommended for our county school system that wants to eliminate God in every way. What do you have to say when people ask you questions about what happens in our schools? Our heart goes out to these children, young people with bright futures who are gunned down in their own school. Outside the home, the school should be the safest place there is. Parents send off their children to school thinking they're getting an education. They'll return home each day having learned something vital for life and then be able to go again until they complete a certain course of study and become better human beings. What's happened to cause such havoc, death, and a culture of death in the music and programming? What's happened in our country to create such a culture of dying and killing? What is it? Well, I know we ought to be hopeful, but if you try to find hope without God, you're on an endless search and you're never going to find an answer. Is it possible for God to move, for God to work, for God to do what only He can do? Again, is it possible? There was a time when a group of people from this church got concerned that an assembly of believers should be established in this little farming community of Powell. Sometime we ought to go further into the history of it. And the tiny group of people who came together to establish a Bible preaching station here. And they assembled together. They got property. They established a place to meet. They first met in the school across the way at what is now Powell High School building. Because they prayed for God to move, for God to do something, for the Lord to work. And they were excited, and they bought land and built buildings and reached families and went through the community and knocked on doors and saw families come to Christ and children get saved. Is it possible for God to do that again? And you and me, how stirred we were. And we were so stirred up, we did beyond what we ever dreamed of doing. We jumped right in and poured ourselves into what the Lord was doing. And somewhere along the journey, people get satisfied, self-content, self-serving. They still keep a religious front. They know all the right answers. They still attend the services. But the holy fire that was once in them, motivating them to jump in and jump on board and get it done, and encourage others to do the same. And to not ever come to a meeting without inviting someone to come with you. Oh, you say those were the days. They were the days. What God has done. Is it possible? Is it really possible for God to do it again? If you left it up to me, I'm going to be quite frank with you. I would say, all things considered, I've been behind this plow for half a century, running till I'm out of breath, trying to go strong for God, preaching on an average of every day of the week, 365 days a year. Is it possible? Is it possible for me to reach down of my own and find something again that I once had? The answer is no. We all just want to say no. But I didn't ask if it's possible for me. Is it possible for God to do it again? To use me again? To use you again? To work through your life? Is it possible? There's an overwhelming yes to that. It is possible. That's what I desire. I went to my friend's homecoming service. Oh, how my heart was stirred. How my heart was stirred. I'll come back to the psalm in a moment, but would you like to turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3? The Bible says a prayer of Habakkuk in verse 1 of Habakkuk chapter 3 upon Shigionoth. We don't know exactly what that Shigionoth is, but it is a place of desperation. Maybe I should preach on, have we come to our Shigionoth? Most of us have it better today than we had it years ago. Most of us have it better today than we had it many years ago. So what's so desperate? What is so desperate? I understand while I was away, I don't know any of the details about it. My wife tried to find something about it. There was news about our own university here in town where people are pitching some sort of fit and the police come and try to protect them. Does anybody know anything about that? Protest? Some sort of communist, Nazi something? You know, one would think the most peaceful places on earth where people have learned and studied, found answers, solved problems, would be almost like a safe haven. But the most radical movement in America is on our campuses of higher education. So if it tells you anything, it tells me anything, it tells us education is not the answer. It's not the answer. God moving and working. There was a time on the campus of the University of Tennessee when we had soul winners there, witnesses. They put ads in their newspaper, the Daily Beacon. You better watch out. Those folks from Temple will get you saved if you're not careful. They advertise that in the college newspaper. They're trying to keep all of us from going to hell, the Daily Beacon said. I would to God the Daily Beacon said again, there's a group of people down there trying to keep the student body from going to hell. Now the student body may be headed in the same direction, but the soul winners are not there like they once were. Is it possible for God to do that again? You answer me. Is it possible for God to do that again? But only if they are laborers. That's why the Lord Jesus with a passionate heart was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. And then he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And I believe God is still pleading with people because it's his desire to do it again. To do it again. How many of you, in all honesty, in all sincerity, would say, I'd love to be a soul winner again. I once was seeking after souls. I'd like to be a soul winner again. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Is it possible for God to do that again? How many of you have never been a passionate soul winner, speaking to people about Christ as you went, but you believe there is such a thing and God could do such a thing and you'd like to be one? Would you raise your hand? He said, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Notice, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And here's a great expression. In the midst of the years, make known, in wrath, while the wrath is still continuing, while they're still holding up signs that say, kill Jesus when he comes again. In the midst, in wrath, remember mercy. While the wrath is going on, remember mercy. Is it possible for God to do it again? Return with me, please, to the psalm, Psalm 85. The psalm says, show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. And then the psalmist says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Are we ready to listen? Have we heard him? Are we ready to listen? I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. That ought to be a prayer we're making, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Where did that happen? When did that happen? Where did that happen? Why can God do things? Because the sin debt's been paid. He didn't have to pour out the wrath on us. They kissed on Calvary. When the justice of God demanded that sin be paid for, Jesus paid it all. When wrath cried out, mercy answered. When justice said the payment has to be made, God made the payment with his own dear son. And so if you're wondering if it can be, it's possible because Christ has paid the debt so he can forgive the debtor's sin. Truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good in our land. Our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. We're following his steps now. You see, the goal is not to get the increase. God says if we seek him and please him, he will give the increase. Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians and said, yes, I've planted. Yes, another has watered. But never forget, it's God who gives the increase. And it is God who gives the increase. So where are we? Find yourself in this psalm. Would you find yourself in this psalm? May I show you where we are? You're in it. I'm in it. We're in verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation. He's the God of our salvation. How many of you know the Lord is your Savior? You've asked him to forgive your sin and by faith trust him as your Savior. Then we are here. Here, please. We are here. Turn us. Turn us. God, turn us. Turn us. May I give this little footnote to this psalm? If you'll turn with me, please, to the Lamentations of Jeremiah in the last chapter of the Lamentations. Chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Consider, behold, our reproach. That means being treated with scourge and contempt, strong contempt. Remember our reproach. And then he goes on in verse 11 and says, they ravished the women in Zion. Ravished means by force and abuse. Can you imagine that our young people and women are being ravished? How many of you ever got disturbed by something you saw that people are doing that seems almost inhuman? I mean, just the language, the abuse. You know, I dare not go to certain things on video or certain things on internet or certain things on MTV. No Christian belongs there. I dare not go and see what is on display that you read about and you could see. I dare not go there. But it's not just a treat for the sinful eye. It is the ravaging of human beings. Do you ever stop to think how many young people are wasted before they ever reach adulthood? Now here they're talking about the Babylonians breaking through the wall and ravaging people. The word is here, ravaged the women, took them by force and abuse. We couldn't stand the thought that someone was about to break in and take every young daughter and every wife and ravage that woman and take them by force and abuse and do with them as they pleased. We couldn't stand it. That's basically why young men and fathers joined the military in World War II, because they said, we're going there to protect our wives and our children from what they want to come to do to us here. But now we sit and watch the ravishing. And we need to wake up. And we need to pray, God, turn us. He goes on to say, not only that, they ravaged the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. God says, reproach, ravaging. But in verse 19, he says, thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Do you ever stop and think all we really have is God? And I say, is God able? Is it possible for God to move again in our midst? Is it possible? And then there's a prayer to close this book. Verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Remember that. Turn thou us unto thee. And then Psalm 85, verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation. So, is it impossible for God to do it again? The answer is what? No. So what is the issue? What is the issue? Do you ever stop and think sometimes what could be done, what God is able to do, how wonderful God is and what is possible with God? Do you ever stop and think about it? Then what's holding back God doing it? What is? Well, you say all these wicked people in the world. No, that's not what's holding back. It's God's people, it's God's saints, the psalm says, that need to be turned. My heart needs to be turned. Your heart needs to be turned. Your heart needs to be turned. Your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. All of your hearts need to be turned. There's hardly a one of us Hardly a one of us that is what she or he once was for God. There's hardly a one of us that thrills like we once thrilled, that works like we once worked, that's passionate like we once were passionate. So I'll be finished and you'll be finished. Let's imagine when I get to the other side. I just came from my dear friend's funeral. His voice is now silent. 86 years. Consistent. But he finally got there. He's in heaven, which is far better. If we're going to do anything, if God is going to turn us, if it really is possible for God to do it again, it's got to be done from where we are here, between here and there, right? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Turn up the gas, Clarence Sexton." That's what God said to me. "Preach harder than ever, Clarence Sexton. Be more passionate in earnest than ever. Be specific. Set the goal. Follow the Lord. Be the best Christian you can be. Because now I am not only able to do it again, God said, I desire to do it again. And if you want to see revival, revive us again, Lord, revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. You have a period of time to do it. And then you won't have time anymore." And perhaps I'm speaking to people that God is speaking to. I mean, I'm just joining his voice. I'm just laboring together with the Lord. And we're going to attack it. We're going to get after it. And we believe, I have every reason by faith to believe. I have every reason by faith to believe that God is going to come in alongside us. And we're going to see more done for his glory by his favor than we've ever seen before. Yes, he can do it again. He can. He can. Let's bow in prayer, may we?